practice because it's been at least a month, I think, since I last was up here on a Tuesday night. But I'm grateful for God's mercy and his grace. And I won't keep you here more than an hour or two. Amen. Amen. You keep yourselves here because when we finish, no one wants to go home. Amen. But I'm grateful for all that God is doing. He's an awesome God. He's an awesome God. And this month, our theme is about the Father's will. And so I was thinking of an associated theme for their Tuesday night Bible study. And I'm going to talk about God's sovereignty and how does he get his will done with us very stiff-necked and rebellious that we are. How does God get his will done? Amen. But I believe tonight that if we open our hearts, God will reveal and help us to understand how he gets his will done. Amen. So in John chapter 5, verse 27, it says, "And hath given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man." I've been talking about dominion. I've been talking about what God has given us authority. And I want to try and explain how God still gets his will done. How do we have free will, and yet God gets his will done? And in John 5:27, it's going to be our key verse for this study. "And hath given him authority to execute judgment also because he is the Son of Man." As I've been teaching many times, that when we were created, God gave us dominion. Amen. We explored that in the study on Sunday about the will of the Father and how we gave up that dominion. So how does God get his will done? Well, he has several channels of action. Number one is as Son. So whenever man acted within the covenant, God limited himself to the same delegated power he had given Adam. Remember, in Genesis 1:26, he said, "Be fruitful, multiply, subdue or replenish the earth." And what was the last thing? Have dominion. Amen. So he delegated powers to the Son. And we're going to look at how he did that. So we're going to review that. So one of God's manifestations or ways he can move is whatever he's given to the Son, it's okay for him to use too. Let me explain. I said, now, if you were going to a car dealership and you saw a car, right? You just saw this car, and this car was a bargain, but you didn't have your checkbook. It was so low, you couldn't believe it, and you really wanted that car. But you didn't have your checkbook or your wallet. And you ran home as fast as you can. You drove home as fast as you can. And you came back. And when you came back to purchase the car, someone else had bought it. Now, is that unfair? Why is it not unfair? They had a choice too. So although God gives us choices, that does not mean that he still doesn't have a choice. But he limits himself to the kind of choices that the Son has. Wonder if you can, are you following me on that? That is, I believe that God does change circumstances, but he will not force himself to change your heart. He'll give you every opportunity through circumstances to change, but ultimately you have to choose him, because that's what love is truly about. You have to make a choice. Amen. So he can act as Son when we stay within the covenant, but anytime we go out the covenant, then he can act as God. So whenever man went outside the covenant, that broke the covenant, God was not limited then to the covenant because man had broken it. So whenever man broke the covenant, God could act as God and bring judgment. Within the covenant, he acted only as the powers that he had given Adam. And I'm going to show you that tonight. So let's look at God's word as a covenant. In Genesis chapter 1:28, he says what? Be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion. And it was over every living thing. But it also came with a caveat or a warning. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he also said that there was something for us to do. Man was put in the garden to dress, in other words, to tend the garden, to keep it, cultivate the garden. This was a review of God's original setup or covenant that he gave man. And again, this is a little bit of review. I taught this about 2 years ago. I've done a few little updates to it, but I want to just review some of it. So God limited himself to give us sovereignty within the terms of his covenant. As I've said, if I had $100 and I gave you 10, how much do I have? Do I still have 100? No. When God limited himself to give man dominion, he gave up the choice to run our lives. That's why Joshua said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Whether it's going to be the gods across, you know, back across the river in Egypt, or you're going to serve Jehovah. We always have a choice what we're going to do, whether we're going to choose. That's what God gave up. He gave us sovereignty so that we could in turn give him love. So whenever man stayed within the terms of the covenant, which is his word, God limited himself to just the dominion he had originally given Adam. So he put himself, in other words, on our level. Amen. He put himself on our level. And we're going to look at that a little bit. He had given dominion of the earth, as it says in Psalms 115, verse 16. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men. So I want to really try and explain in a little bit more detail how I see this work, and it's best to do it graphically. A little while ago, I taught about the Aleph and the Tav, the Alpha and Omega. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, it says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. That encompasses time, infinite time in the past, infinite time in the future. So God is all there is that can exist, really. He says, I am the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come. And we can put down all of those things as God's attributes. That means he's all powerful, he's omnipotent, all knowing, omniscient, everywhere. That means he's omnipresent. Isn't that good that he's at your workplace? He's at your home if you let him. Amen. He's at your school. Amen. He can be anywhere your Holy Spirit is. Amen. Wherever you let him, wherever you want to say Jesus, amen, he's there to respond. He is perfect in all aspects of his being, and he is perfectly just and perfectly loving. And when you can hold on to those things, then no matter what happens, you can still trust God. You see, it's when you begin to doubt God's justice that you start to waver in your faith. Just because things do not work out the way you think they are, or it looks unfair, we start to question God's justice and his mercy and his grace. But if you can hold on to the fact that although you don't understand it, he understands it. Amen. So I want to show you this equation, and I want to show you what God actually did. So we take all of these things, Revelation 1:8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. And I said he's immortal, all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere, perfect in all aspects of his being, perfectly just, perfectly loving, infinite. That's what God had at the beginning. But we know that he subtracted some of that. He took some of that dominion and he gave it to his son. Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Isaiah 43 verse 7 puts it this way. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. Hebrews 1:3 says, who being the brightness of his glory, an express image of his person. Who was it that God created in Genesis? Adam. But who was Adam? He was a son of God. He was a son of God. Think about that. That means he wasn't the same as us before he sinned. He had power. He had dominion. So what I'm showing in this equation, God had everything. And then he subtracted some of that dominion. And that's what Adam had. So Adam then had power where? On earth. Adam then had all present knowledge on earth. I really believe that. Adam knew everything that was going on the earth. Remember, God told him to do what? Fill, cover the earth. He was also perfect in all his aspects, perfectly just, righteous, holy, before he sinned. How can we know that that is true? How can we know that Adam, the Son of God, was perfectly righteous, perfectly just, and all of these things? How can we know that? Sister Brownie, he was created in God's image, but there's another reason how we can know. Because of the second Son of God, right? The second Son of God was also created as in the flesh, in God's image, right? The angels said to Mary, "Behold, the power of the Almighty shall overshadow thee." Didn't Jesus fulfill all of those things? He had power on earth. He had all present knowledge. He was able to know what was going on anywhere. He was perfect in all aspects of his being. And so we see that in coming to earth, God fulfilled the pledge that he had, actually the dominion that he had originally given Adam, who failed. So what we have is God, who had all of those things, subtracted or limited himself within the terms of the covenant that he had given mankind to allow a Son of God to have dominion. So let's look at some of the powers of the Son of God under the covenant, because this is what we're called to. This is what we're going to return to. Amen. We're going to return to having this kind of dominion. Wouldn't that be great? Amen. Because the Bible says, as I said Sunday, that the wild animals, the lion shall what? Lay down with what? The lamb. So let's look at the powers of a Son of God. He turned water into wine. That shows dominion over matter. He rebuked the storm. That shows dominion over nature. He made fish swim into the nets. Dominion over the fish. Because wasn't that in the original? Have everything that creepeth upon the earth. He healed all diseases. That means he had dominion over the body. Amen? Cast out demons. So he had dominion over every creature. He knew their present thoughts. In Matthew 12:25, the Bible said he knew their thoughts. He had dominion over knowledge. What I'm trying to show you is that that's what God gave up in order for us to have sonship. That's what he has called us to. That's what eventually we're going to be. In 2 Chronicles 6:14, it said, "And O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts." When man was in the covenant, this was the dominion that he had. This was the dominion that he had. I really believe Adam had all of those attributes, that he had exactly the same dominion as the second man, Adam, which was Jesus Christ, until he stepped out of the covenant. When he stepped out of the covenant, the day he did that, he lost that dominion. And I showed that in Genesis 8, when mankind came out of the ark, when Noah came out of the ark, God gave him the same command, except the one thing that is missing is what? Dominion. He says, fill the earth, right? He does says everything the same, except no more have dominion. Because that had been lost by obeying Satan's will. This month, it's about the Father's will. What I want to show you, and I'm going to probably, well, I'll show the next slide. I'm probably going to skip some of these because of time. But within the covenant, I'm trying to say, we have dominion. That's the point I'm trying to make. When we stay within God's covenant, we have dominion under the sonship. We should have the same abilities under the covenant that the Son of God has. Amen? Isn't that what the scripture says? They that are led by the Spirit, to them gave he what? Power to become. Hallelujah. So when we stay within God's covenant, then we have the ability, or should have the ability, we certainly have the right to say, peace be still to the storm. Whatever storm is going on in your life, you should have dominion and be able to say, peace be still. Amen? Whatever sickness that you have, you should be able to speak to it and say, peace be still. I have found out something lately. Well, no, I knew it. I knew it. I, I knew it a while, but it really only has crystallized in the last 3 or 4 years. I found out something about my prayer and my prayer life. I found out that with me anyway, when I keep praying, it happens. It may not happen right away, but I found out that it just keep on praying. Do not stop praying. And I found out that when I keep on praying, it may be months, it may even be years, God hears my prayer. Not because there's anything with me. You know why? I'm just obeying what his covenant is. When you pray within the covenant, the Bible says you shall ask. Now you may say, why doesn't it happen right away? I think there's many reasons. We won't go into it tonight. Maybe next week we'll be talking about the Father's will. But here's what I found. And it's really amazing. Anything I pray for, anything I've prayed for, God has given it to me when it's been according to his will. It may have taken a while, but it always seems to come to pass. Amen. And not me alone. I guess my wife as well, because when we pray, God has been merciful and granted our prayer. And I see him doing the same thing. Amen. So what I want to explain to you is what we need is to maintain the covenant. When we're in covenant, then the sonship power belongs to us. When we're in covenant, the sonship power belongs to us. Jacob received a covenant. He got the greatest blessing that was possible. He actually walked around and left father's house with nothing, right? He had tried to cheat his brother out of the fortune, but in the end, what did he leave with? Nothing except the blessing. He left with the blessing. You couldn't see it, you couldn't touch it, you couldn't put it on, but that's what he left with, the father's blessing. Amen. And when you leave with the father's blessing, you actually have it all. Amen. God then instituted this covenant with Jacob. And because of that, when you're in covenant, God hears your prayer. God hears your prayer. Look at this, Genesis 28:10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. You know what was happening? God was making a covenant. And when you're in covenant, the will of the Father can be done through you. And behold, I am with thee. Now, isn't this an amazing promise? I am with thee and will keep thee in all the places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into the land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Now, what exactly had Jacob done to deserve this? Nothing. But he had obtained the most important thing, the blessing of the Father. With the blessing of the Father comes the covenant. And within the covenant, you can ask. You can ask. And Jacob waked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew him not. And you know the story of his labors for 21 years with his uncle Laban. And on his way back, of course, he came back with cattle and a rich man. But here comes his brother coming to kill him, coming with a band of 400 men. Now, I want to show you something, how God works. Remember, what I said is, if you're in covenant, you have dominion. Genesis 32:24. He had divided his group into two, and he had sent them ahead. And he stayed there, kind of praying, if you want to put it that way. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Now, think about this. Remember, 20-something years before, he had almost done the same kind of thing, but this time by trickery. He had gone to the father, Isaac, and you know the story. His mother had told him, go and kill the kid and get the blessing. This time, he wasn't doing it by any trickery. He was fighting. Eventually, it will come down. You will have to fight. And when he saw that he prevailed not, he said, I'm not going to let you go unless you give me the blessing. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, it is Jacob. And he said, thy name shall no more be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and with man, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou doest ask after my name? And he didn't tell him. And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. For he said, I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Now, what I'm trying to show you is, again, the fact that because he was in covenant, he was able to wrestle with this being and still have dominion. Satan will try and come and fight us, but if we're within the covenant, what I'm trying to say, we have sonship powers. Amen. God has given us sovereignty as long as we stay within the covenant. Now, I want to explain how this works, because many times people don't understand, why do we pray? God already knows what we're asking for, so what is the purpose of prayer? And the way I think I'd like to best explain it is like the relationship of a lawyer. If you want a lawyer to act on your behalf, you have to give him what? Power of attorney. You may have the best lawyer out, but if you do not actually let him actually represent you, you're not going to win. When we pray, what we're doing is submitting back that dominion that God has given to us back to him. That's when he's happy. That's when he says, now I can really stand it. Just get out the way. Let me work on your behalf. Let me fix this situation. Let me calm the storm. Let me make the food fall from heaven. Let me heal your daughter. Let me bless you. When we truly pray and we empty ourselves of our dominion and our desires to fix things, that's when Jesus can actually come in. And we see this in the Old Testament. Now Jacob has turned into a nation called Israel, and they're coming back out of Egypt. And God has delivered them, shown them 10 different times through the plagues his power. And we see that they receive the commandments, Exodus 24:3. And Moses came and told all the people the words of the Lord and all his judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said will we do. What are they doing here? What's happening here? What's happening to Israel? They're returning the dominion, but they're doing also something else. They're getting into covenant. They're saying, what you say, Lord, we're going to agree to. You know what God is going to say? I'll tell you what he's going to say. And he took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people and said, and they said, all that the Lord hath said will we do and be obedient. In other words, Israel was marrying. They were getting into covenant with God. And Moses took the book and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, and sprinkled it on the, sorry, took the blood, sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Now, what does that mean? Israel now is, the whole nation is under the covenant. What does that mean when they face their enemies? Their enemy is going to lose. Because remember, when you return the dominion and you're in covenant, God is fighting for you. God is on your side because you are in covenant with him. So Israel could not lose as long as they stayed within the covenant, as long as they stayed within the boundaries. The only time they lost was when someone disobeyed the covenant. God had told them, when you take your first city in Canaan, everything that comes out of that city belongs to me. When you take Jericho, that first city, everything in that city has got to be given to me. Don't take anything for yourself. But of course, someone got greedy. Got greedy and saw these gold and these garments. And he took the gold and the garments and hid it in his tent. And you know the story. Because now Israel was viewed as one nation, Joshua said, well, there's only this little town called Ai. It's only a little town. We don't need to send the whole army. We'll just send 3,000. We'll just send a few thousand down there. And it'll be okay. But now they had stepped out of covenant. And so they were no longer having dominion. When we step out of covenant, we no longer have dominion. But you know the story that Achan had to be put to death because he had brought death to Israel. Out of that 3,000, 36 men lost their lives because Achan stepped out of obedience. Israel had made a covenant, and in the Old Testament, God speaks of Israel as his wife, and took the blood and sprinkled it on the people, and behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made. As long as we stay in covenant, we can have dominion. Jesus said to his disciples the same thing, though they didn't realize it. In Luke 14:26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. You know what he was saying? You have to put me first. He has to be first in our lives, above everything else, above your job, above everything else. He goes on to say, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. I want to tell you, one of the first covenant principles is to come into agreement with God's will. When we say, as I've been saying the last 3 weeks, nevertheless, not what I want, but thy will be done, then we begin to have power with God. Because what we're saying is, you are first. My will is second. You are first in my life. I'll do whatever you want. When we come to that point, you know what? Then we become truly into sonship. Then we can ask. Then we can ask. And God will fulfill it. I don't know even how to say it, but I know my wife will understand that I told her this some months ago, that we now just keep praying about the same thing. Just keep praying about the same thing, and it will happen. Isn't that what I told you? And haven't you started to see some things happen that we prayed about that didn't seem to be any change? You have to be like Elijah. And when you don't see the cloud the first time, you go back. The trouble with most of us is when we pray and it doesn't happen, okay, that's it. Move on to the next thing on the list. But we have to have a made-up mind, because when we pray, it's not just our prayer, but there is spiritual warfare going on to try and stop our prayer. But we have not to give up. We have to align our will with God's will. So let's look at this a little bit. Of the sovereignty and God's power when we return dominion. This is what God pledged to Israel when they gave him dominion, Ezekiel 16:8. Then I passed by you and saw you, and behold, you were at the time for love. So I spread my covering over you and covered your nakedness. I also swore to you and entered into a covenant with you. You became mine, declares the Lord of God. You know what? I've kind of had a belief. I don't know if I can prove it. How can I say this? I've had this belief that when you truly have belonged to God and you are his, and you keep going this other way, God may just take you. Because you know what? He says, you became mine. Leviticus 20:26, thus you are to be holy to me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have set you apart for the peoples to be mine. Israel was his bride. Israel was his favorite. Israel was under covenant to him. Isaiah 43:1, and now thus says the Lord your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you are his and you are truly submitted to him, then just as Jesus said in John 17, he says, I've lost none of them. Because no one can pluck you out of his hand. It's when we fight. You ever picked up a baby who was fighting to get out of your hand? And if you don't hold on tight, sometimes they actually get out of your hand. And what's going to happen when they suddenly get out of your hand? They're going to fall and hurt themselves. They don't understand that you are actually protecting them. And they're mad at you because you're holding them tight and you have to kind of subdue them. I am so grateful that God has held me tight many times when I've been wriggling the wrong way. He hasn't let me go. He hasn't let me do what I wanted to do. You know why? Because I made a covenant with him. You made a covenant with him when you were baptized. You said, I'm going to be baptized in your name. I'm going to take on your name. I'm going to walk according to your will. And when we do that, we become his. We're giving him dominion to be our power of attorney. Amen. So, you know, because Israel was under covenant, every single battle they fought when they were under covenant was a foregone conclusion. It doesn't matter how many enemies came against them, they were going to win. Even up to modern times, the Six-Day War, Israel lost almost nobody. They had three Arab armies surrounding them, hundreds of thousands of soldiers. On three fronts, they had a very narrow little, in places only 10 miles wide. And yet supernaturally, June the 6th or 7th of 1967, in 6 days, they defeated all three armies. That was supernatural. That was Old Testament. You know why? Because God still has them under covenant. When you're under covenant, you cannot lose. I tell you, God has done some huge miracles for me in my life. Not because I deserve it, but because of his love. You know, when you're born into the kingdom, there's nothing you can do about being born. You know that? Now, you may not be at Father's house like the prodigal son, but if you'll return, he'll give you the ring and the robe. Amen. So I had to put that there because this was a paper from even now where the terrorists are firing rockets at Israel. And it says, the terrorists said, their God changes the path of our rockets in midair, said the terrorists. They fired hundreds and hundreds of rockets. And I think there's only been one or two casualties in many years. Because when you're under covenant, the Bible says he is your keeper. The Lord is your maker. He that maketh heaven and earth does not slumber or sleep. When we are truly submitted to his will, behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. When we return dominion to God, that's the best place. Now, under the Old Testament, though, the rules of the covenant were such that it was easy to break. And so people were always going outside the covenant. Amen. It was so easy to break. You know, you picked up sticks on the Sabbath and you broke the covenant. But thanks be to God, God prepared a better covenant. Hebrews 9:15, and this is another one of my favorite scriptures, speaking about Jesus. And for this cause, he is the mediator. That means he's the go-between. He's the advocate. He's our lawyer. Of a new testament, a new covenant, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. I put it in a modern version so that you could get it. That is why he is the one who mediates a new covenant. I have a lawyer and an advocate that's so much better than Habush and whatever, or I don't even know the names of all of them. Yes, I think they're the biggest ones in Wisconsin, right? I have a lawyer that's better than them. Amen. He has never lost a case. Amen. He has never lost a case. When you give it to him, when you truly return dominion to him, when you give him power of attorney, amen, whatever the case is against you, it can be dismissed because of his grace and his mercy. It says in Hebrews 9:14, the verse before that, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? If we truly understood the power of staying in covenant, and that enables us to walk as sons of God, and the power that Adam had and the power that Jesus demonstrated, amen, we would want to do that all the time. I don't want to try and fight for myself. Amen. I don't want to try and fight for myself. If I have an advocate with the Father who is Christ the Lord, amen. The Bible says, whoever liveth to make intercession for me. But to show his humility, the Bible said that he first emptied himself. In other words, he limited himself. Because God as a spirit could not die for us. God in his Shekinah glory could not suffer pain. But again, to give us back dominion, just like Adam, who lost it through disobedience, he had to empty himself. He had to limit himself. Philippians 2:5. Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, counted not the being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men. Do you understand that for God to redeem us, he had to subtract from himself? He had to humble himself. I can't imagine how God could even do it. I don't even imagine how he was able to wash his creation's feet, to humble himself that much. I was talking with someone today, and I was trying to explain how we hurt God. And God always shows me this through my children. You know, when they were young and I would get mad with them for being disobedient, suddenly it would hit me. That's exactly how you are to God. That's exactly what you do to God. And it would then hit me, wow, is this how I am to you, God? Is this how I appear to you? Stubborn, willful, ignorant, not understanding that I'm trying to protect them? And it was like God saying, yes, that's exactly how you are. And if we could ever see ourselves that God sees, the love, the protection he wants, and all we are is like that little baby trying to wriggle out of his arms. And if he did ever let us go, we'd probably hurt ourselves. So in order, again, to give us back the dominion that Adam lost, the same thing that had happened in the garden, God had to limit himself to come down here and die on a cross. In his humanity, he was made lower. Because as I said, God could not die on a cross. Hebrews 2:7 says, thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. You say, well, I don't see everything under subjection to me. And in Jesus' time on earth, you didn't see it either. But it's there, it's coming. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower, God in the flesh, subtracting from himself so that we could once again get back dominion, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. See, in the beginning, to give man dominion, God had to limit himself. When man lost it, the only way for that to happen again was God had to do the same thing. He had to come as a man, limiting himself, allowing himself to be whipped, allowing his beard to be plucked, allowing himself to be tortured, allowing himself to be nailed to a cross in order that we could have once again dominion. I said that just like Adam, Jesus had the same powers, or let me put it this way, Adam had the same powers as Jesus. Anything that was presently could be known, he knew it. In Matthew 12:14, it says, "Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence." Nobody told him. Nobody said, "Psst, the Bible says, when he knew it, he withdrew himself." Do you know that as a son of God or a daughter of God, God can give you supernatural knowledge? You'll know when they're coming against you, and you can just withdraw yourself. But that's only when you're in. You ever know? Have you ever just seen when it's going to come down? When you just know that it's going to happen, you can see it a mile away when they're plotting against you. When they're plotting against you, because God can give you sonship dominion. Amen. Again, it shows in Mark 8:17. "And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, Why reason ye because ye have no bread?" See, he actually, God, because he was God in the flesh, and although he was limited compared to the spirit, he still had the same sonship powers as Adam. And it says, because he knew what they were thinking. In this case, they were following him because of the bread, and he already knew what they were thinking. Again, in John 6:61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured. See, that's the kind of power and gifts that God has promised us if we stay in covenant. The Bible said when he arose, he gave gifts. The problem with us is once we speak in tongues, we think, okay, that's it. But I want all the gifts that God has promised. Because we should be able, through the Spirit, to walk in dominion. Sin should not have dominion over us. Sin should not have dominion over us. And the reason why it does is because we have decided to keep stuff for ourselves instead of giving it to God. When the little boy yielded up his lunch to God, it could be multiplied. It could feed thousands. If he had kept it, how many people would it have fed? And barely that. They said, this is barely a meal for one person. But whenever you give to God, when you submit dominion to God, you know what happens? It's multiplied. Thousands of times multiplied. When you truly submit your dominion to God. Many times when I come up here to preach, I'm praying to God. I'm saying, Lord, I don't have what it takes to get up here and say anything. And every now and then, when I've truly submitted, God takes over. God takes over. Amen. Because it's certainly wasn't what some of the things I say wasn't what I thought I was going to say. But when God takes over, that's great. Amen. I'm getting edified too. Amen. Mark 13:32. "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father." What he's showing here is that the Bible says that Jesus was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That means he had everything that could be put into a body that was God. But that wasn't everything that was God. It was everything that could be put in a physical, finite body that was part of God. But it wasn't the Shekinah glory. It wasn't every single bit of God, because Solomon in the Psalms says that, can I build a house? Can God fully dwell in his Shekinah glory in every bit of us? And the answer is no. But he said, I would pour out of my spirit. He said he would pour out of my spirit. His spirit is shared amongst all of us. Amen. Amen. So we're seeing that when we stay in covenant, we get all the gifts. We can win battles. We can come against the enemy. Amen. Because John 14:28, again, "Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If he loved me, he would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. And Jesus said, for the Father is greater than I." He was speaking, though, from flesh. He was speaking as flesh. Because this finite flesh could never contain the infinity and the power of the Father, but he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was all that God could be put into a physical body. I'm going to skip this next slide. So how does God get his will done if he is limiting himself? How does God get his will done if he's limiting, controlling people, making you... See, it's the devil wants to manipulate you with strings. God doesn't want to do that. He only wants to manipulate you through one thing, love. The devil wants to manipulate you through all of these things I said on Sunday, fear, envy, anxiety, lust, all of those emotions that he can use. But the only thing that God wants to use for you to come to him is love. Hebrews 2:10. So how does God get his will done? If he's limiting himself, if he's not making you, how is he going to get his will done? Well, Hebrews 2:10 says this, "For it was fitting for him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons, many daughters to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings," meaning himself. He was willing to limit himself and die and to show you through his death his love and what he was willing to do for you to freely choose to love him. John 3:16, right? "For God so loved the world that he gave." Can any of you think right now something God has done for you? I can think of lots of things that God has done for me. Incredible things. Most of them I can't even tell you. But I know it was God. This morning even, when I was driving to Madison, I must have seen, I don't know, 6 cars in accidents. Because it was deceptive. It looked sunshiny, but I guess there was ice. And even on 41 South, I saw one car. I was driving by and I thought, that was the warning to tell me, wait, this road is not what it looks like. I saw this car up on the bank of the railing. And then as I kept driving onto 94 West, I saw many accidents. And I've probably seen in the last 3 or 4 snowstorms, probably at least 20 different times, I've seen cars in the median flipped over and in all kinds of ways. You know, I'm driving now almost 1,000 miles a week. But you know what? The angel of the Lord encampeth around them that fear him. Amen. When I was first starting to drive, I showed you that for almost 3 or 4 days in a row, God showed me a rainbow. You remember that I said that? Amen. You remember that about seeing the rainbow? What does the rainbow represent? Covenant. Covenant. And I just know that God is preserving both me and my poor little car. Amen. Amen. God is a good God. He wants to get his will done then through love. And he wants to get his will done through us. Jesus gave us the example in John 9:4. "I must work the works of him that sent me." See, we want God to just do miracles. Just do a miracle. Just speak directly to people. Pray, God, you heal them without us doing anything. But that's not what God wants, because he has limited himself. He gave us dominion. And he wants us to use the dominion that he has empowered us with, so that we have to pray for people. We have to witness to people. We have to encourage people. Jesus gave us the example. He said, "The works that I do is what I see what? The Father do." Remember what the topic this month is? The Father's will. Whatever he said the Father does, that's what I do. If we're not doing work, it's because we're not, what, seeing the Father. Because Jesus said, "Whatever he seeth the Father do, that's what I do." How can we see the Father? Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. The devil does the same thing. He can only use people's dominion. And I've said this very often. I'm not too afraid of spirits and ghosts and demons. The only time I maybe get a little bit more worried is when they actually get into somebody. Then they can use that person's dominion. You know, but just spirits and stuff, they can't really do much because they have no dominion. But when we give our dominion to Satan through obedience, remember, I think it's Romans 6:63, to whomsoever you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are. See, the Bible says that Satan works in the children of disobedience. Because God has made it so that we still have dominion of choice. We have to choose who we're going to serve. So Jesus said here, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. There is a day coming when the Bible says the angel's going to say, let him that be wicked be wicked still. Let him that be evil still. And let him that... There's coming a day when God takes back dominion. There's coming a day when there won't be an ability to choose. There's coming a day when it'll be too late. The rainbow represents God's covenant. He told Adam, be fruitful, multiply, and have dominion. If you could stand with me, I told you just 1 hour. Let me explain how we can influence God. God was going to destroy some of the people of Israel, but Moses prayed. Exodus 32:14, because of Moses' intercessory prayer, the Lord changed his mind about the disaster he planned to bring on this people. I'm showing you how God works through us now. He's not going to, unless there is no other way, just speak to people. He wants us to use our dominion out of love in his cause. That's why it's taken so many years, thousands of years, for God's will to be done, because he is not forcing anybody. He's seeking for a man. The Bible said he sought for a man to stand in the gap. And he found many men, but none of them were perfect. None of them were good enough. They all brought a little bit to the fight, so to speak. Abraham brought faith. Isaac brought peace. Jacob brought determination. He said, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me, right? Judah brought praise, and so on. David, a man after God's heart, he brought bravery. He wasn't going to be swayed by the size of the giant. But none of them, all of them had flaws. All of them had little, he said, I sought for a man and I found none. So you know what he had to do? Had to come himself. Had to come himself. He emptied himself so that we could get back dominion. And if we will stay within covenant, if we will stay within covenant, let's just show you how the Lord works. In 2 Chronicles 12:5-8, the Lord was going to allow Israelites to be conquered because of King Rehoboam's rebellion. But what happened? The king and his officers did what? Repented. God is so good. I've repented a lot. And so the Lord changes his plan. Jeremiah 26:2-3. The Lord tells Jeremiah to prophesy to Israel that they should repent, saying, listen, if you do, I may change my mind about the disaster that I intend to bring on Israel because of their evil doings. We deserve it. But God is so merciful. He is so merciful. Amos 7:1-6. The Lord revealed two judgments, and two times Amos intercedes. Twice the scriptures say, the Lord relented concerning this. I know that God has relented concerning me many times. I should have died a long time ago. I told you I've been in two accidents that were, if you look at the car, you couldn't tell someone got out of that unscratched. So how do we get back to dominion? Matthew 12:50, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. James 4:7 says, submit. Let's say that together. Submit. Hardest thing to do. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Then you can resist the devil. Problem is, a lot of people don't submit to God and they try and fight the devil. He's going to beat you up. Because you haven't given your dominion to God. When you give it to God, he stands before us. John 5:19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. We get back dominion. It's kind of paradoxical. We get back dominion through submission. John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me he can do nothing. Talking to someone today, and we were talking about the scripture that says he won't put anything on you that you can't bear. But actually, I really think that the true meaning is, he won't put anything on you that you can't bear with him. The truth is, you can't bear it, but you can with him. You can with him. He won't put anything on you that you can bear if you will submit to him. And if we'll do that, then I really believe, just like John 17:12, it says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them. Wouldn't it be amazing if you just take a moment and look around at this church, look about everyone in here. Wouldn't it be amazing if the rapture was to come and every single person in this church, every single one of you, that's the promise of submission. Everyone that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the one who would not submit, who had his own agenda. In John 18:9, he says, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake of them, which thou gavest me, I have lost none. If we submit, if we will submit, we cannot be lost. That's how the Father's will is done. That's how we're going to make it. Hallelujah. We're going to close this service. Amen. I hope you will take this word and meditate upon it. God only can get his will truly done through us submitting. And when we truly do that, that's how he will then put his covering over us. When we fully acknowledge him, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will give you what? The desires of your heart. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. Help us, Lord. In our flesh, we can't do it. Oh God, we cannot bear the things that we are carrying alone. But Lord, we truly, truly bow down to you tonight. We submit to you. We give you all our dominion, that you, hallelujah, can give us your covering. Lord, we ask you to change us, multiply us. Father, we ask for your mercy and your grace. Lord, we thank you right now. We believe that nothing is impossible with you, that you're able to save to the uttermost. Lord, we ask you, oh God, to move in our church, move in our midst. Bring, hallelujah, healing. Hallelujah, bring Oh God, multiplied blessings. Oh God, bring hope. We thank you right now. Hallelujah. We give you the praise and the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.